Darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is no darkness in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's pray again. Our God, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you for your truth. And again, we ask, Father, that we could forget about the troubles of the world now and look at your Word and look at what you have said and rejoice in you. God, please show us how to be strong, how to put off our sins, God, and how to live for you and for your glory. And as we glorify you, Father, may we rejoice in it as we enjoy you, as we enjoy your Word, as we enjoy life, walking in your path in the light. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to be looking specifically at verses 12 through 14 this morning, but we'll be explaining more than that. These verses are very interesting because on one hand, they give encouragement to the people who know that they're weak. It gives encouragement to the people who are beat up, who are tired, and who need strengthened. And on the other hand, these same verses humble the people who are proud and have set themselves up. You can see as it's talking to the fathers, you can imagine people, of course not fathers in our congregation, but you can imagine some fathers being of the mind, well, I know the Father. I've known him from the beginning. Why do I need this stuff? Why do I need what you're saying to me? And on the other hand, you could imagine someone humble and someone weak. And John saying to him, I write to you because you have known the Father. Because you've known him from the beginning. Someone who knows they're weak. Someone who has been beat down. Someone who's exhausted. John says, I'm writing to you because you are strong. And you have overcome the evil one. But if someone's sitting there in their pew thinking, well, I'm strong and I've overcome the evil one. I don't need this. John says, I'm writing to you because you are strong and you have overcome the evil one. You need this. You know, and John deals with every group of people, every class. And I wouldn't think of it in terms of age, but I'd think of it in terms of your Christian walk. In one place he uses paideia, which is like a little child, an infant. And he says to them the same thing that he says to the fathers, those who have been Christians forever. He says, I'm writing to you because you've known the Father. And when he's addressing everyone at the very beginning, he's saying, technia, it's these my children. You know, this term of endearment that we saw in the beginning of chapter 2. So John's coming and he's saying, okay, I'm writing to you because your sins are forgiven on account of his name's sake. And this is his foundation. I'm talking to you because your sins are forgiven because of his name's sake. I hope you remember that even now, Christ sits on the throne in heaven. And because he's there and because he's paid for your sins, even now you're forgiven. And this is why John's letter comes to you. Because you are forgiven. And this is the blessed state you find yourself in. Now, as I was wrestling through these scriptures and working on an application, part of it was know your place. You know where you are. Know where you stand with God. But as I was working this out and as I was dealing with these scriptures in my own life, what I really needed to hear was be strong. Christ has called you strong. So be strong. And I want to say, be strong for Christ's name's sake. You carry with you the identity of a child of God. Everywhere you go, when you're in the public arena, even if they don't know it, you are still Christian. That is still who you are. When you're behind closed doors and you think no one sees you, you're still Christian. You still carry Christ's name on you. As you decide what you're going to do, as you make your choices, good or evil, you're bearing Christ's name. When I was in my late teens and I was going through this stage where I really wanted to define myself as an individual, and I was doing whacked out stuff to do it, I decided to grow sideburn. Now, I'm not misspeaking. I did not decide to grow sideburns. I decided to grow sideburn. Just one. My uncles told me that I looked stupid. My scoutmaster made me do push-ups, but I liked sideburn, and I kept it until I was tired of it. Now, one day, my mother set me down, and she said, "You are embarrassing me." And I thought that was stupid, because what I was being taught was individualism. That's what I was getting in the school. You're an individual. Be your own person. When I told my mom, "Nah, sideburn's about me, Mom. It's not about you." She said, "Wherever you go and people look at you, they don't just see Micah. They see Becky's son. And I'm embarrassed." You see, all the things that you do, you bear the name of Christ. When you're unlovely, when you sin, when you're ugly, you bear the name of Christ. And people look at you and they don't just see you as an individual, but they see your Lord. They see Jesus. So that's why I'm saying be strong for Christ's name's sake. As you deal with your sins and as you struggle and as you stumble and fall in the mud, don't lay there. Get up and pray for your cleansing and wear Christ's name well in humility. When you fall, in humility when you blow it. But wear it well and be strong for Christ's name's sake. Be strong because Christ has called you strong. If you've been a Christian for any period of time, you're going to fall into this category of the young person that he's referring to. Verse 14, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong." Now that might come as a surprise to some of you, that God says, "You are strong." Now if it doesn't come as a surprise to you, you might need humbled. But if it does come as a surprise to you, you obviously need this encouragement. The King of the universe, taking you and saying, "Child, my child, you are strong." He says, "You have overcome the evil one. And you are strong." What should this do to you? How should this move you? How should this inspire you? In teaching children to swim, I've observed them in life jackets and seen that they've got their stroke down. They've got it. They can move and they can hold their head above the water. And I've seen their endurance and know that they can get clear across that pool, but they won't take their life jacket off. And sometimes you've got to grab a kid, look them in the eye and say, "You can do this. You are strong." And the same child, when I took their life jacket off and said, "Go," they went. They went across. And they grabbed the other side. And they turned around and looked at me and said, "I can't do it." They just did it. You know, you are strong. Scripture talks about in the beginning, in verses 7, 8. "Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you." This truth has been put in you. Christ dwells within you. And these temptations that you fall into, in these weak areas, we'll call them the mud puddles that you keep slipping into and getting dirty. I want to tell you, the Word says, you are strong. And you don't have to keep doing this. The next psalm that we sing is going to talk about God giving you the hinds feet, you know, these cloven feet that you don't have to fall. That you're strong, that you don't have to slip. You know, and so often you are dealing with Satan. I don't talk about it a lot anymore because where I came from, that's what everything was. You know, you were never in a prayer meeting without someone saying, "You know who's doing this, don't you? You know who this is." And more credit was always given to Satan than to God. People would talk to Satan in their prayers in the church continuously, calling him a liar and just going on and on and on talking to Satan. I don't want to give Satan a lot of credit. And when you fall, it's your fault, not Satan's. But he's real. But he's there. And he whispers in your ear, "You're weak. You can't do it. You're going to fall. You call yourself a Christian." But Scripture says, "You are strong." Look with me again at verse 14. "I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you." And here, look at this. "And you have overcome the evil one." You have overcome the evil one. He's beaten. We've talked about the imagery before of a dragon who's been dealt a death blow. You're called to pillage his kingdom as he bleeds out. Satan is beaten. You now have the authority and you now have the power of the child of God who has crushed Satan underfoot. And 1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." You have overcome the evil one. You do not have to yield. You do not have to fall. You don't have to roll around in your mud puddle that you slip into. You have overcome the evil one. Think of Christ when the disciples were sent out two by two and they came back and they're rejoicing about the demons who are cast out because they say so. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. But he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. The adversary is beaten. When Christ was accused of being in league with Satan, he talked about the strong man being bound and now his kingdom is being pillaged. Don't give credit to Satan. Don't blame him for your failures. But no, you have overcome the one that is in the world. You are strong and you have overcome the evil one. Be strong and step out of the shadows of hatred. Look with me at verses 9 through 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Well, I think it's pretty clear we know where he's going. Chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, and hatred is darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. See, it says if you hate, you don't know what you're doing. If you hate your brother, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, you're blinded. I have not experienced losing my eyesight, but I hope you can imagine it for the moment. Being in utter darkness, trying to get somewhere, and not knowing where you're going. See, if you hate, this is what you're like. So be strong by loving the unlovely. Those are the people we hate, isn't it? Those people who come against us, those people who challenge us, or just the people that are smaller than us. Not physically, but the people who aren't quite as quick. The people who are more dim, the people who don't walk as strong, the people who struggle with specific sins that you don't. I want you to consider who the unlovely are in your life. Consider who you hate. Consider who you look down on. In my old church, I was trying to help this guy out, Larry. And Larry came from a rough background. He had been into a lot of drugs, a lot of drinking, and he didn't have the mental facilities there anymore. And one day when I dropped him off at his house, he had been ranting about his landlord. And his landlord was right. And when Larry got out of the car and he still wasn't done ranting, he looks back in and he looks at me with these crazy vacant eyes and he's got his long hair down. And he's like, he can't tell me to do that. Who does he think he is? I looked at Larry and I thought, where is the image of God here? Because I saw limited intelligence, I saw no ability to reason, I saw no ability to stay out of sin. So where was the image of God in Larry? How could I love Larry? How could I respect Larry? Well, you know, I imagine that the angels of God look at us sometimes when we sin and say, where is the image of God in Micah? Imagine the angels looking at you in your sin and say, where is the image of God here? See, we're not that good. We haven't arrived. You know, and these people that you thought of, a different race, a different denomination, someone who just challenges you, someone who just rubs you the wrong way, a thief. You know, whoever it is that you're looking at and you're hating, you have to realize that it's only by the grace of God that is not exactly where you are. You know, I look at Larry, and I remember Sideburn. You know, how stupid was I? You know, and God let me do these stupid things that, you know, didn't burn up my brain cells. He could have let me go another way. You know, it's the same with you. Imagine you've all had peers that have been more stupid than you, who have gone the wrong way, who have been in worse sins, and it's just easy, isn't it, to look down on them, and it's easy to hate them. But our ability to love takes strength. And God has said, you are strong. And if you hate, you are in darkness. You don't know the truth. Be strong because you have known the Father. And I love this one because this is what John says to those who have been saved for a long time. And he also says it to the infants. He says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Or you have known Him from the beginning. It's talking about the beginning of your salvation. And he takes the children who have just been saved, or the adults who have just been saved. He says, and I write to you because you have known the Father. See, this is a blessed place that you find yourself in. Throughout my life, since I came back to the church, I've been compared to my grandfather, whose name was Amos. And so often, when one time I actually visited a man in the hospital, and he says, well, there's a man who needs no introduction. And I didn't remember ever having met the guy. And I said, sorry, have I met you? And he said, nah. He said, but you're a hammock or I'll kiss your foot. My mother was a hammock, and I looked like my mother's people. And one time Leslie and I were working, we were raking gravel. Well, I was raking gravel. And she came up to me, and we were working at the church building. And I said, you want a shovel or do you want a rake? And an old man there that knew my grandfather said, if that isn't the image of Amos, I'll kiss your foot. I don't know how that language got started. But when you come from someone, you start to look like them. When you respect them, you start to look like them. You know, and if you have known the Father, you're going to look like Him. When people meet you and they know you, you're going to be like the Father. And your Father is strong. You see, in the strength, oftentimes it's in a quietness. But I don't want you to have the idea that Jesus was always nice. You know, Jesus was always good. But He wasn't always nice. Jesus was always good, but He wasn't always soft. You know, a lot of times a strength is dealing with sin directly. Dealing directly with sin in your own life, and after you've gotten a plank out of your own eye, dealing with other people's specks, or maybe their plank. You know, the strength that you have takes many forms. It's a strength to put off your own sin, but it's also a strength to help other people with their sins. It is not a loving thing to do to allow someone to continue in a sin, because sin hurts people. And it hurts God's church. So the strength that we talked about, the strength is because you have known the Father. The strength is that His Word and His truth actually lives in you. I hope that's an amazing concept to you because it's so beautiful. God's truth lives in you. See, this is about relationship. And your obedience is about relationship. The first thing that I do when I fall back into the mud puddle is I ask, how much have I been with my Father? Now, how is my relationship with my Heavenly Father? And I hope you'll do the same. When you find yourself weak, when you find yourself falling, when you find yourself back in the mud puddle, you know, ask yourself, how am I doing talking to Dad? How am I doing in spending time with Him? And deal with that. And be strong enough to make the changes you have to make. Because you're saved because of, for Christ's name's sake. That's who you are. Your Father is in heaven and Christ is there. And you are saved because of the name of Jesus. Because you have loved Him and because you have trusted Him. So the call is, you are strong, so be strong. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, again we thank You for Your word and we thank You for Your truth. Our God in heaven, I pray that You will make us marvel that You have called us strong. And may we rejoice because we have known You. And You are from the beginning. May we rejoice because You are in us and through You we have overcome the evil one. May we rejoice, Lord, because we are strong because You have called us strong and we are Yours. And God, may our lives be changed today. As we go out into this world, as we struggle, as we deal with the whispering in our ears, as we long to run to our idols, God, may we remember that we are strong, that we have overcome the evil one, that we have known You, and that Your word abides in us. And Lord, we lift this congregation to You. Father, I pray that You deal with our specific hurts and our pains. God, for when we are lonely, for when we are weak. Lord, we thank You for the birthdays that are being celebrated today, and we ask for Your blessings on Gene and on Nate for this year to come. Father, we lift up our testimony in this community. And we pray that we will be able to reach out in love, and that we pray that people's hearts will be turned, and that they will be brought into our midst, that our fellowship would grow and that You would be glorified in that. God, for those of us who are sick and struggling with weakness of body and of mind, God, may we rest in You and find our joy in You and what You have done. Not what we've accomplished and not in our own strengths. But God, may our joy be in You and what You have done. And may we rest in that and glorify You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is 18J. And we sing of the strength God gives us for His glory. Strength to face an oncoming troop. You can think of it as a hordes of adversaries. Strength to leap over the barriers in your life. Even consider those sins that you haven't been able to push past. Those mud puddles you haven't been able to walk around without slipping and falling. And the strength that He gives us to climb and to run and to not slip. So please join with me in singing Psalm 18J.
Mm-hmm.